You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super honored for today's guest. He's back again. He's a science nerd, a sports nut, a mindset geek, a performance junkie, an ass kicker. Over the years, he has helped tens of thousands of people achieve their most ambitious goals by becoming more resilient, creative, and confident, and courageous. He has also clocked over 15,000 hours of field play of working one-on-one with people from all backgrounds and circumstances to develop an impenetrable mindset. Right here, that's what we talk about. He knows the mental performance game better than anyone out there. His execution and mindset strategies and systems are used by business and entrepreneurs and entertainers and athletes and do hard things. He's been through some hard stuff on his own and truly understands the things that drive people. And he is also known for being brutally honest and often tough on his clients. He's also deeply empathetic, compassionate, busy because he knows how important it is not to treat everyone just like a nail because you're a hammer. I'm super excited and honored for today's guest. Welcome back, Todd Herman.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, brother. I'm super excited, man. We got lots of cool, great things to talk about today.
Yeah.
One of the things I know we want to get onto today is your book, Alter Ego. I want to dive into it a little bit, but I think one of the things that really resonated with me was a recent post that you made.
Sure.
And it just, for me, I've not been through things like that, fortunately.
Yeah.
But so many people and the reactions and the entrepreneurs and just everyday people that reply back and stuff that they've been through and how much that helped them.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, how can I have Todd, we can communicate down here to help other people out there? So maybe give us a little pretext or background on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you talk to like any entrepreneur, or you talk to someone who's, you know, has to write an about page or or a resume, it's really difficult because you know that you're just more than a few of those bullet points you're going to be putting in there.
Right.
And we know that in business, it's important to kind of tell the origin story of why you do what you do. And I never had a good answer for that because why I ended up getting into like mental game coaching and peak performance stuff came from such a wounded place that I was never prepared to kind of share with other people. And so I would tell people, well, you know, it's because I picked up a leadership book when I was 15, and that book talked about mindset,
right?
And, you know, and that kind of got me down the road, that pathway. And but the reality is, why I got into it and what ended up becoming like a superpower for me was that, you know, when I was 12 years old, I was at a church camp. I grew up on a big farm and ranch in Western Canada, and I'm such an extroverted person that I wanted any chance to get off the farm and go and hang out with other people. And so one weekend I'd be a Catholic, the next I'd be Presbyterian, the next I'd be like evangelical or something.
Whatever fit.
So that I could just go off to camps and have fun and meet, be around other people. And I was at a camp and 12, and over the course of a couple of days, two men basically singled me out and, you know, sexually abused me over the course of a couple of days. And, you know, it really... you know, obviously affected you.
Sure.
And, you know, I'll never forget, like, I came home from that sitting in the back seat of a car with two people that had taken me there and were driving me back home. And I got out of the car, and when I got to the farm, and I took my little duffel bag and dropped it off at the front door, and we had just put in a new pool in our backyard on the farm, and changed into a bathing suit and jumped into the pool and, you know, tried to drown myself because I didn't want my family to know. You know, about that. There's so much shame and there's so much guilt that you end up
You don't know how to
carrying.
Process.
You don't know how to process. I'm 12. And and unfortunately, you know, now that I've done all the work that I do, and you see just how much shame and guilt is the thing that drives many people's behavior.
Right.
And often, in my book, I talk about the trapped self and how you know that you're capable of so much more, but there's just personal narrative and story or imposter syndrome or the worry and the concern of what other people are thinking about you that traps you and you end up not doing the thing that you most want to go and do. And so I struggled with attempted suicides, you know, throughout my life because that thing just haunted me. And but finally, 31 years later, you know, I'm 43 now. It was literally just a couple of years ago, I got to the point where I just couldn't keep it under anymore. It was really affecting my kind of internal world where I was an angry person. I wasn't, one thing I can at least say is I was never mean to other people. Like I'm a tough and I'm a challenging coach,
right?
But that's because I'm helping people do hard things and I need to help push them past those paradigms. And,
right.
You know, but I don't do it like a hammer. Like I don't, there's many tools that we use.
Sure.
That we can, you know, that experience gave me an extraordinary high level of compassion and empathy for other people. And I know that people struggle with different things and what holds them back. And it's not just because they're not good at setting goals or they're not, you know, good at, you know, managing their calendars and like all the stuff that people trot out all the time. There's other deeper reasons why. But it wasn't until, you know, I couldn't keep that emotion bottled up anymore. And I have three little children and I didn't want what I call to give them secondhand trauma.
Sure.
Right? Like I didn't deserve it. They don't need to deserve it either.
I know you mentioned there was like a trigger too from your daughter that you're just like,
whoa. Yeah, we were, we had just had our third, child, Charlie, my little guy.
Yeah.
And, it was a rough childbirth. And so my wife was at home resting and so I was, you know, being the business owner, running my business and actually writing the book at the same time. And then I was picking up my kids, my two little girls from preschool. And we live in New York City and we're at this, you know, big sports complex called Chelsea Piers. And picked them up from there. And I put Sophie, my little girl, who was about three at the time, into the carriage. Or 2.5, and I put Molly, who's a little bit older, she was almost 4, into the carriage as well. And as I did, she's super sweet and just really high level of kind of emotional intelligence. And she, you know, as I was putting her in, she put her hand up to my cheek and she's like, "Daddy, are you happy?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm happy. Why?" Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Oh, because you've been yelling at us a lot lately, and it's making us sad." And I mean, I burst into tears.
Sure.
And you know, I'm like, "Don't." No, I'm happy. I'll make this right, kind of thing, kind of making that promise. But inside, that world came crashing down on me, where it's like, you know, for so long you've kept this to yourself because nobody had known. No one had ever.
Wow, you've never.
No one had ever. I'd never shared it with anybody. And I was like, you can't do this on your own anymore. Like, you need to get help for this. And so that started the process. And it was one of those things where. Even when I told my wife for the first time, she didn't laugh, but she kind of like had this like kind of outburst of not laughter, but it was like, "Oh, now I understand
just
you.
Like
now I
almost,
get why you do the things that you do and, you know, why you can be so easily triggered on stuff." And that's a term that a lot of people misuse, I think, like, because when triggered really does come from people with PTSD stuff, like, and it's, you know, the simplest thing can super trigger
set them off. And,
right. And so anyways, you know, that started me down the process and I just faced it down and faced it down. It wasn't easy. Like it was like a step forward and 5 steps back oftentimes. Mm-hmm. But then I came out the other side finally. And you know, to be frank and very honest with people as to like what that final event was, you know, I was working with a great psychiatrist. I was working with, you know, an amazing therapist, like world-class people in New York. And that was getting me down the road and it was helping.
Yeah.
But the final step in that process was truly doing MDMA therapy.
Okay, which I know there's been a ton of great studies about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge one going on right now in New York with the conjunction of NYU, Bellevue Hospital, and the MAPS Institute doing phenomenal stuff. And it's got an 84% or 86% cure rate for people with PTSD.
Which I know they're doing a lot with like military PTSD testing and like working with them on it.
And the FDA even came out after the second trial phase and said, "We've never seen anything that has such a definitive cure rate for people with PTSD," which is going to be awesome because, you know, it will get legalized because you can't have people that are, you know, military veterans sitting in front of Congress that stand up and say, "I was cured from this PTSD."
Right.
And there's no way that Congress won't be able to like legalize it for therapeutic versions. And so it was like being pulled through a vortex out the other side where I was no longer ruled by all that stuff.
Wow.
You know, and I think, you know, the reason why you really wanted to have me on and we were talking about this is, you know, we talk, people come on and talk about successes and that hero's journey story and everything. And, you know, the reality is, I mean, me working with extremely ambitious people, whether it's in pro sports or in business or executives is a lot of people are driven by some tough things that have happened to them in their past. And they're hard charging, but we don't need to hold on to those things as the reason why. Like some people think that it's the thing that gives them their edge.
That's their energy.
And they hold on to it for longer than they do. And I mean, I think I'm a good example, at least, that it's not changed any of that ambition. What it's done is it's actually probably purified it a lot more.
Okay.
Definitely. And it's made things a lot, there's a lot more ease in things now.
Do you think then that whole experience that happened, I guess, has led to the whole thing with the alter ego book? And like, obviously, because in the book, I know you talk about Richard and, you know, that's your alter ego that you use for sports performance.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think, unfortunately, that happened, but I mean, things always happen for a reason that lead us down a path for greatness.
Yeah. So, I mean, the book, The Alter Ego Effect, you know, when you think about just all the stuff that we have to do, there's so much resistance that stands in our way, right? And sometimes it's the stuff that we put there ourselves, right? And the expectations or the you know, we start thinking about all the challenges and roadblocks that are going to come our way, despite the fact that a lot of times, you know, whatever the quote is, like 90% of the worries that I've had never happened.
The ifs and the whats.
Yeah. And then there are things that are going to be natural challenges for you as you move forward. And it stops people. And so for me, going through what I had done or what had happened to me, you know, I needed to like latch on to any tool and strategy I could to just even cope with life. And it kept me really connected to probably the superpower that... to the superpower that we all have, which is that creative imagination.
Okay.
It's really the only thing that we as human beings have that truly does differentiate ourselves on this planet from other, you know, other beings,
right,
or other animals, is we have this ability to create stories in our head, to new narratives, create a heaven from hell or a hell from heaven, you know, and we can suspend our own disbelief of what we think we can do. And we can, you know, ask ourselves that powerful question of, well, what would Oprah do? Or what would Elon Musk do?
Right.
Or what would, you know, Mr. Rogers do? And that's who is in my inspiration for my alter ego at home.
Right.
And that isn't about me being fake. That's about me saying those qualities that this person has would help me so much to be the best version of me at home with my children. Because all day long, I flex the muscle of being a challenger personality.
Right.
Right? Like working with people just like you to help you move past a paradigm or a roadblock or whatever. The last thing my kids want is a challenger personality to come home.
Right?
You know, and I mean, I think everyone can relate to that, where it's like you walk through the threshold of your doorway or your office door if you have a home office, and you don't turn that off somehow.
Right.
And the power of this this idea is that we start acting with so much more intention with our life, and we get to play with new ideas of who and what we want to become. That isn't about being inauthentic. It's about actually finding the most real you that there is. You know, that we're peeling back the layers that shouldn't be there, and we allow ourselves to step through. You know, for me, that more gentle self with Mr. Rogers.
Right.
You know, so that I can get down on one knee just like he would when Sophie's having a tantrum. And instead of like, you know, lording over her like I could easily do, instead I get down on one knee and I pull her in for a big hug. Because that's what he would do.
Right.
And now that's unlocking this better parent in me.
Sure.
Right? And the great thing is everyone else has done this stuff naturally. Every single person watching this has 100% used an alter ego or a secret identity to play with. Like when you were a kid out in the front driveway pretending to be your favorite basketball player or hockey player or football player on the grass. You know, and it's just to see what else I could do. Like if I had Walter Payton, which was my alter ego in football, you know, he was inspiration there. It's like, if I could like run like him, right? Now I'm suspending my own disbelief of the fact that I'm 6 foot, 156 pounds soaking wet. I am not a physically gifted person, but boy, did it ever untap a way different level of performance for
right.
me. And it allowed me to get college scholarships. Or, you know, like when I get home and I, you know, put on the Mr. Rogers, or in business when I started on, I was so insecure about how young I looked.
Sure.
And I put on, I went out and I decided to do my reverse Superman. I put on a pair of glasses to be my super version of myself. And not be so mild-mannered like a Clark Kent would be.
Right.
And, you know, show up like I most wanted.
one of the things I find interesting, and you kind of talk about it in your book, and I started thinking back, my daughter was asking me, and she's like, well, Deb, you know, who are you, you know, like when you do this or that? And I'm like, man, I guess I've never put like names or like, okay, I'm pulling from this person or this person.
Yeah.
I tend to just go do and like, okay, this is how I need to be. So like, I'm an introvert, INTJ. Yeah. And so for me, like when I started my podcast, I hate being on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously I shoot a video podcast, but I'm always about challenging myself and pushing myself and finding and you know better ways. So for me, I'm like, okay, how can I be the best person on camera? How can I be, you know, that? And which I probably should have been like, okay, how can I be like Larry King on camera?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or how can I be like Ron Burgundy on camera,
whatever.
You know, but I didn't think like that. I was just like, okay, how can I be the best person? What are those traits? What are those things that they make them shine, you know, those two people shine?
Yeah.
So for me, that's the way I thought about it. Not like, okay, I need to anchor myself and link with a certain specific person.
Yeah.
Whether it was in sports when I was a kid or business. I think like when I read Tony Robbins, Unlimited Power and Awaken the Giant, I'm like, okay, cool. I guess that time I was like, okay, how can I be like Tony? And if I follow all this stuff that Tony says, then I'll head down that same path that he does.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but I think in general, I think I've trained myself. I automatically now just go into those modes. Mm-hmm. You don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Whether like in Krav Maga, when I go out and we're sparring and we're fighting, like there's just that switch that changes, and you know, and whatever it is for that 10 seconds or 50 seconds or whatever it is, you know, it just all unleashed.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, cool. I'm just a normal person.
And all those things are a part of you.
Right.
All of those things are a part of you. That's what people. You know, we start to define ourselves, well, I am this way.
Sure.
Okay, well, the moment you do that, you have just limited yourself, right?
Right.
So, because that's what we do. We create these little walls in our minds of, you know, I fit into this box. But what actually happens internally, again, I've been living between the 6 inches of people's ears for 21 years. I have heard it all. And what I know is the moment people start defining themselves in one way, they feel trapped by it then. That's why I say the about page is the hardest thing for people to write.
Yeah.
Because you know that you're not a box. You know that you're more than that. Which is why on my about page, and we just changed it, but it was always, it said, hey, I understand you're here to try to figure out who I am and you want to put me into a box. But here's what I can tell you. I am many things just like you are. Here are some highlights below. Mm. And I get into my personal life. You know, hey, I'm a root beer aficionado. I love root beer. You know, and I talk about how I've done speeches on stages of 15,000 people. But I've also done speeches where I've had my fly down, you know, by accident. Like, you know, just because, again, it's humanizing.
Right.
And we've all have that.
Yes.
But, you know, when you ask yourself, because what best self can I bring out to that? So that's one way of asking it. And sometimes when people ask that question, they kind of go to their own personal set of like success stories or resources or traits they've already developed, which might be limited for them.
Okay.
Like they might have limited themselves.
Right.
Whereas what I'm saying is like at your core self, there is this place of just like unlimited creative possibility.
Sure.
Like the gentle self that I bring out intentionally for my kids.
Right.
It already lives inside of me, right?
Yes.
But I don't magnify it very often because in business, that didn't serve me very much.
Right.
Yeah. But Mr. Rogers helped me untap it. And then after a while, I start to see myself more as that gentle self. And you start to like unfold as more and more of a human being, right? Like, which is what we are gifted with there.
Right.
And so that idea of like, what's that best self that I bring to the table? That's one way of asking it. Or it's like, you know, who do I most want to become to help me be successful on that field of play?
Right.
Alter egos and we as human beings, we operate in context.
Okay.
We always do. Like, who you are with your kids is, of course, going to be slightly different than who you are with me right now.
Sure.
Or who you are on camera. It makes sense to people.
Right.
But all I'm doing is saying, okay, well, how do we practically apply it so that you can then succeed more in life and have more wins on all these different fields?
Yes.
You know, most people they think of themselves as a single identity. I am this.
Right.
And that's actually, you know, the psychology world has proven it. The person with a single identity or a single self has the highest rates of mental health issues.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
When people, and for the longest time, the psychology world actually reinforced that because they had thought that the single identity person was the best way to do it.
Right.
No. Proven not to be wrong. Or proven to be wrong.
Yeah.
The reality is that the the multiple self theory, or multiple selves, is now the fastest growing probably area of study in psychology. I already knew that naturally because, again, you had said it. I've worked with people for over 16,000 yeah. hours one-on-one, not groups.
Right.
Not three people, not two people, one person.
Okay.
And for me to help people like perform at extraordinary levels,
right.
you know, that one-on-one interaction was really, really, really important, which then helped me develop the systems to help many people then.
Gotcha.
And the people that were performing at high levels, the consistent golden thread that weaved them all together, they lived in context. This person I'm bringing out onto that football field,
right.
that tennis court, that boardroom over there is of course going to be slightly different than the person I bring onto that sales call over there. So even in the context of business, people actually might identify with like multiple selves.
Sure.
Right? Like, you know, who you are here on camera is a part of your business.
Right. right?
Yeah. But then who you are off camera, you're going to dim some things down. Because you don't need to, on camera, like the reality is, like we need to bring up our personalities.
You got
to
be so overly uncanny
so that you're,
camera, yeah.
so that you're not bored at home. You know? Just to break the fourth wall for everybody, that's the way that it works.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that just developing and seeing yourself in context more, like, I mean... It's such a powerful mindset for people to get. And again,
sure.
that's my world is like, you know, how do we actually help people succeed? Mm. Not just in the physical results that people get, but also between their ears.
Right.
So that they, you know, are their own, what I call their own greatest ally between their ears. And the alter ego itself, the term, comes from Cicero, who was a Roman statesman and philosopher.
Okay.
Well known as being, if not the best Roman philosopher, one of the most influential of all time. And he was writing penned a letter to a friend in 44 BC where he brought up the alter ego. It was the first time in recorded
wow.
history where it was actually named.
And
in the letter, he called it the other eye or trusted friend.
Okay.
And when you think like, you know, we all know, you and I know this because we talk about this, what it takes to succeed in kind of any area of life.
Right.
I mean... the grease slide to it is the quality of your relationships.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The more good people that you've got
yeah.
to help you get there, as opposed to you learning everything yourself, is just a super smart strategy.
Yep.
So we all know that allies and friends and great relationships, who you surround
yeah,
yourself with
sure.
is powerful. But most people don't think about, what about the domain between your ears?
Right.
Do you have allies between your ears? And that's what alter egos are
okay.
for people. They help you untap that better quality, that trusted friend that you bring internally to help you go and perform to your capabilities. Because nothing wounds a person more than when you hit your head on the pillow at night and you say, why didn't I ask that question?
Right.
Why didn't I raise
yeah,
that? Why didn't
that's
I raise
true.
My hand? Why didn't I ask for the sale? Why, when so-and-so was walking by me, didn't I reach out and say, excuse me, you know, Mr. So-and-so, I just want to say how
right.
much I appreciate your content that you put out there, right?
Yeah.
You know, that wounds people. Because yeah, that was your trapped self operating there. You started thinking about what that person's going to think of me. And that's when you operate in context, everything from what other people are going to think of you, it traps you. Because now you're going to try and figure out what's the right thing
sure.
to say. Instead of acting very intentionally, this is how I am always going to show up. And if someone doesn't want to reciprocate, that's on them.
Okay.
But I'm going to continuously operate this
maintain
way
that.
Because it makes me feel good. It makes me operate through my values. And sometimes... it's easier for you to think through the context of someone else helping you get out there. You know, the cover of my book, which, you know, we've highlighted on the show, has got a pair of glasses on them.
Right.
And people think, a lot of times people think they're my glasses. They're not. I mean, I wear non-prescription glasses, and that's what helped me, you know, get out on the field of play when I was 21. And I only just wear them now just for dress. I don't need them anymore to step
sure.
into this alter ego to be my best self. It's natural. I met that person. I became that person. And then people think, oh, it's Clark Kent Superman. Oh, that's smart, Todd. Clark Kent Superman. It's not that. It's actually, they're the replica of the glasses that Martin Luther King wore. Because Martin
yeah.
Luther King had a pair of non-prescription glasses as well.
Right.
That he used to step into what he called his distinguished self. And I did a speech back in 2004 in San Antonio at this leadership conference. And I talked about like mindset.
Right.
And it was actually a speech around leading millennials. And this new crop of people coming into the business world, and I talked about the glasses, and you know that's what I had to do to get past this insecure self, And this lady came up to me afterwards. She's like, I love your talk. And specifically, I love the fact that you wore fake glasses. because Martin had a pair of fake glasses too. And I looked down at her badge and it was Coretta Scott King.
Wow.
Martin Luther King's wife. And and she said, you know, people don't know that he had these glasses. Actually, that's his amazing. Friends didn't even know that he had, that sure. he didn't need glasses. Most people thought he needed them for reading.
Right.
He didn't. He wore them because he felt like he was carrying such an important mission and movement forward. And, you know, he didn't want to get in the way of that. Those insecurities
right,
might get in the way.
It.
So he used them to step into his distinguished self. You know, so that those glasses, almost like a shield to the self,
sure.
could block those slings and arrows and that negativity that might stop him
right.
from getting out there and bring wow. his best qualities to help lead that important mission forward. And I know everybody else has an important mission. They've got something that they want to get out there.
Right.
But there's no resistance. Whatever it might be, the fear. I'm not here to pull on the puppet strings and figure out what those things are. That's for therapists to figure out.
Sure.
But what I do know is there is a greater force that can beat resistance, and that is our creative imagination. Everyone else has been giving people willpower. Just
right.
do it.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. Go after
it. Wonderful phrases. Thank you for saying that.
Just do it. Thank
Thanks
you.
For giving me nothing to actually go and right. use. The creative imagination is the superpower that we have to crush resistance. Mm. And an alter ego is that powerful mechanism that we've used to help other people do that. And the great thing is I'm literally not teaching people really anything new.
Sure.
I definitely have the method in the book that I walk through, you know, how to do it with powerful intention and make it happen. But you already know how to do it.
Right.
Like for me, I call it the great remembering, you know, for everybody.
Okay.
You know, remember when you used to do it. This isn't childish.
Right.
This is about tapping into a childlike self where we can be a little more playful with life. Because as someone who went through some extremely hard stuff in life,
sure,
it was my way of navigating life with a little more grit, more grace, so I didn't have to, like, you know, beat myself up until I got to the point where I finally actually overcame it all.
Right.
I'm not saying that this is not a replacement for therapy for people.
For sure, yeah.
And again, this its only use isn't for personal trauma. Like, I mean, I just say that that's one of the reasons people have
you
resistance.
You said you can use it for when you go to the boardroom or making a
yeah,
deal. Or,
yeah.
Well, I mean, like, and what's interesting is from the last time you and I interviewed, and in between a buddy of mine connected me, and I don't watch really much TV at all, but the show called Billionaire. And
billions,
so,
yeah.
Or billions,
billions,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But the one lady that works for the firm
yeah.
is like that, she helps people get that right mind back.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, you know, kind of when we're talking now, I'm like, oh, Todd's kind of like that. He gets you, boom,
yeah.
and gets you in that mind and gets you in that game.
Well, and I mean,
through those alter egos.
Though. Yeah. I mean, I'm known as the quick hit artist.
Right. Like,
I'm the guy who was called in the fucking, in the 11th, sorry. I'm the guy who was called in at the 11th hour when someone has the U.S. Open that's starting on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and it's a Wednesday, and stuff just ain't working for them right now.
Right.
They're in a slump, or, you know, there's confidence that's waning for whatever reason. And so I don't get to use, like, some long-term strategy like meditation, which is 100% one of the core pillars that we use to
sure.
help people. There's just no denying that the long-term effects of meditation is the most powerful thing that you can do to help you perform mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Right.
I can't use that right now. I need to give you an alter ego. And an alter ego was that kind of red pill, blue pill type thing option that
yeah.
can help people get out of their own way really fast. And I'm really good at finding that emotional connection to some other self.
Okay. Yep.
To help you get out of your own way and help all of that capability that you've already got. You've got the skill.
Sure.
You've got every skill that you need for the moment that you have right now is ready for you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it. And then that's going to lead you to, you know, when you take that best action for you, it's going to lead you to another. It's going to continuously cycle you up, and this bigger superhero self starts to show up more and more and more.
Awesome. Anyway, I got a little bit of time left.
Yeah.
So obviously there's tons of amazing content in the book. I'm about 3/4 of the way through. If you were to extract...
Oh, you haven't even hit, like, that's the one thing. It's like, a lot of people front load, like, all their best stuff, like, at the very beginning, and there's best stuff all the way throughout, but some of the really fun stuff sits at the end when you're, like, you're naming your alter ego.
My kids keep asking,
yeah.
when are we going to get here? And they can't wait to
get back in the car. You're listening to the audio.
We listen to it every 30 minutes,
yeah.
not every 30 minutes, but 30-minute drive to and from martial arts, you know, 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So you know, but we listened on 2x, so like yeah. We're getting through it. And
I'm a fast talker, so I hope everyone.
No, yeah, dude, it's like once you get going, it slows itself That's down great. In your brain, anyways. Yeah. But so my kids are always asking, and I was telling you off camera the other day, you know, they're like, because you open up yeah. a lot of open loops and everything, yeah. and then like they keep wanting to know, okay, well, when do you do this? Well, when do you get the name yeah. it? When do you do this? And yeah. so it's super exciting the way you bring the book.
Yeah.
So if you were to extract like three things from there, yeah. like, okay, guys, here's three things you can do to help jumpstart creating your alter ego or pulling that yeah. best alter
I'll
ego
I'll give them five.
Okay.
Give them five.
Perfect.
Because they're kind of like the five phases that I walk through in the book anyway.
Okay.
First one is context. Okay. You're building an alter ego in that heroic self. Right,
that's sure.
You're building that heroic self in context to a specific field. So first place is what's the area that's like you're most frustrated with right now?
Right.
It's giving you like, okay. if you got a performance boost, like you right. started showing up better there, that would really take the pressure
okay.
off. And oftentimes it's not business. It could be home life.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
being a
definitely.
Better dad. Like, I mean, yeah. that's my greatest win is that one right there. So context first, where do you want to build it for? What
okay.
role? What role for? Okay. Second one is, what are you most frustrated with? What's not showing up for you?
Okay.
How you are showing up? Like, you know, what are you concerned with? You know, like, is it that you're not taking enough action right now? You're not being decisive enough? You know, mine was, I wasn't confident.
Mm-hmm.
I was super okay. insecure about how young I looked. And I wasn't decisive. I
right.
wasn't taking that action. So, okay, those were my three qualities that weren't showing up for me, or the three qualities that, you know, I was frustrated with. Okay, so that's the second step. What are you frustrated with right now with that field of play? Third step. It's the flip of the first step.
Okay.
Or the second step, sorry. Is that, okay, how do you most want to be showing up? Well, mine was I
right.
want to be more confident, I want to be more decisive, and I want to be more articulate,
okay.
especially as
sure.
well. I was all over the place. couldn't describe a wet paper bag. And so that's one way to enter it through. The other way is like, well, who is already showing up that you admire?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there some animal that you would love to like, you would love to adopt their qualities? You know, in the book, I explained to people how Kobe Bryant got to his alter ego,
right.
the Black Mamba.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe Bryant could go head to head with any biologist that is an expert on the Black Mamba because he knows so much about the qualities of a Black Mamba.
Mm.
And that's really
right.
important.
Okay, that's interesting.
Which gets into the kind of like the fourth phase. But so what are those superpower qualities that you want to be showing up as?
Right.
You know, who already embodies that for you possibly? That's why mine was... Superman. I wanted to sit, but then I attached to him other people that I really admired in business.
Pulling other people
and I
as
pulled
well.
It,
okay.
And I kind of created this composite, which is why I named my alter ego Super Richard.
Right.
Richard's my first name, and I was like, well, Todd's my middle name. I've always gone by Todd. Todd was, you know, but I, you know, because again, your alter ego is private to you.
Right.
This is the thing that's helping you perform.
Right. Okay.
For you, not
yeah.
for other people. You're not doing this to trick and deceive. This
right.
is about you being the best version that you can.
Yeah.
But I was like, Richard sounds more businessy than Todd does. So I was super Richard. So then the fourth phase is like, what's an artifact, totem, or something that you can use that can enclose the meaning of that alter ego that when you put it on, it's the switch. So mine were the
okay.
glasses. Other people, they use a bracelet. Some people, you know, if it's an athlete, it could be the socks. It could be, there's many things. It could be a towel. It could be a photo of your grandmother, which is something that one of my private equity clients in New York, who's a billionaire, uses on his credenza or on his office desk, that helps him step into a better quality leader because he's a hard charging person.
Right.
And that doesn't help you when you're building out a team of people because he burns them out. You know. And he was like, "Well, that's just how I am." I'm like, "How's that working for you?" That's the greatest question
that
Dr. Phil contributed to the public consciousness is, "How's that working for you?"
That's,
like,
yeah.
Thanks for arguing for your own limitations.
Right.
You're not a tree. You can change, right? And so that's the fourth one. What's that totem artifact you can use? And then the fifth phase is that activation event. That's like being very intentional. And it's that final, you know, like you honoring that spirit of that animal or that person that you're
right.
using. You do not dishonor that person or that thing.
Okay.
You want to create a really powerful emotional connection to it so that, you know, that's the bridge. The emotion is the bridge between thought and action. If you
right.
if you right now are not, you know what you want to go do, but you're not taking the actions, that's because the drawbridge of emotion is up. There is something there that's
okay.
the resistance is there. Emotion is the bridge to action.
The connectum.
The connectum.
Okay.
Both. And so you want to be so connected to that alter ego or to that self that you want to bring there. You that why, that mission that's there. And sometimes it's as easy as, my grandma would never show up like that. And I'm not going to dishonor her memory or if she's alive right now by not showing up like she would.
Right.
Right? Like, we do that. We naturally, like, you will do more for other people than you will do for who?
Yourself. Right. Yeah.
Well, if that's how women, if that's how human beings are built, why do I want to, I don't want to like say, well, is, oh, but you should do more for yourself. That's a slow way of doing things.
Sure.
I only operate inside of the existing psychological phenomena that are inside of you.
Okay.
So if you already operate that way, then let me just build up more emotion around that and allow you to step through your grandmother then.
And pull that charge together.
Because the only thing I care about is, what does the result look like?
Right.
If you get a phenomenal result, I don't care what you had to do in your 6 inches. You know, and the reality is, I share the quote in the book from Cary Grant, the Hollywood golden era actor, you know, charismatic, debonair, where he said, I pretended to be somebody I wanted to be, and I became that person, or he became me, but we met at some point. And that is the perfect encapsulation of what this is. Except I would take out the word pretended, because for me, in my experience, I activated the person I wanted to be,
sure,
and I became that person, or he became me, but we met at some point. And so at some point in time, I'm sitting at my desk 6 months after I activated Super Richard, and I had just booked 2 workshops, and you know what? I wasn't wearing the glasses.
Wow.
I had become the person. I'd become decisive. I'd become confident. And I had become, you know, what people are familiar with as unconsciously competent. I'd become that person.
That's awesome.
So there you go. There's the 5 steps.
Super cool. Well, we just ran out of time, so
yeah.
I'm like super bummed. asking lately here, what's one question that you're like, man, Josh, I really wish you would have asked this, because like, you just don't ask the greatest questions all the time. No, just one question that you really would have asked that I could just feel I have to like get out there and share. This audience has got to know.
Yeah. The question I would ask is, if there was one meta strategy that will serve you in every walk of life,
okay,
what would that be? And it would be, don't do things on your own. I mean, I wanted to be that person when I started out to climb the top of the mountain, plant the flag at the top and say, yes, I did it by myself.
Right.
It was slow and it was stupid. And the better you can get at including other people in your life, because it's built into us, we want to help each other.
Right.
And having mentors around you or a coach or just good people, and including them, telling them where you're going, what you're looking for, what you're challenged by right now, so that other people can help you. It allows you that when you're climbing up that mountain, you're always within arm's length reach of someone who can help pull you over, right? You were just talking to me before and asked me if I was connected to someone.
Right.
Like, that's so helpful.
Sure,
right?
I gotcha.
And so when we do that for each other, and then you're like me, like I want to ask the question before you even ask the question. It's like, for me, it's a game. I'm like, oh, I'm going to beat him to the punch. And I want people around that look like me. That's why I love you, man. Like, you do that.
Why I wanted too, to make sure that somebody else too, for your book and then you were hooked up with, and making sure that you were getting on their show and all that stuff as well.
And I'm not saying this because it's my personal experience. It's proven by multiple studies of people that have lived fulfilling lives.
Right.
The one common denominator that they've all said that brought those people who, you know, qualified themselves as having a great life is the quality of the relationships that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's my great mission, is to just constantly level up and bring more amazing people into my world, be amazing back to other people. And so that's what I would say is like that one meta strategy that will serve you, whether it's in
your
family world, in your business world, in your friend world, is just, you know, continue to invest in great relationships and you will have an extraordinarily fulfilling life.
Super cool, dude. Thank you for coming back on the show, man. It's such an honor to have you here.
Dude,
get this information out there.
Thanks.
So, hey guys, this is a mind-blowing episode. Hope you guys are taking notes. Whether you're watching, whether you're listening, make sure you go back, jot it down, rewind, listen again, and share this. Share this with loved ones. Share this with your friends. People that you know that need to hear this, that are going to make a dent in their life, that's going to help them take that step or make that move in their life, that's going to help elevate them, push them to that next level. And make sure you guys check out Todd's book.
Don't check it out. Just buy the book, because at the end of the day, so my vision for the book is very much like Bill Gates. Bill Gates' vision for Microsoft was a computer in every single home, and on every single desk.
Yes.
And this book will be in everybody's hands at some point in time, because that's, I'm not done until it is.
Okay.
So you're gonna have to buy it anyway at some point in time. So just go and get it now, because there's no point in time, there's no reason to wait to bring your best self out. And I've got the strategy to help make that happen. So just go buy it.
Well, tell them where
yeah,
they grab it.
You know, you can go to altereegoeffect.com. All sure. the links to like all the online sellers are there. You know, your local bookstores, airport bookstores, you know, it's everywhere. You can't miss that bright highlighter yellow.
I saw it in the airport when I was cruising through.
Yeah. And I'd be honored if you came and tagged me back and let me know that you got it and ask me questions, because I'm here to serve.
Super cool. All right, guys, you heard it right from him. Go get it. That was my checkout, but go get it, check it out, read it, implement it. Follow it, put it in your life. My kids are listening to it. They love it. They want to buy the glasses that Todd has. And my daughter's a wolf.
Awesome. I love it. Thank
you. So, again, thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you for watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.